Chapter 22. Affirmation, the practical betterment of your life, and the new structuring of beliefs. If you have a loving regard for yourself, then you will trust in your own direction. You will accept your present position, whatever it is, as being a part of that direction, and realize that from it can come all the creative elements that you need. Being yourself and trusting in your own integrity, you will automatically help others. It does little good to repeat a suggestion such as, I am a worthy person. I trust myself and my integrity, if at the same time you are afraid of your own emotions and become upset whenever you catch yourself in what you think of as a negative frame of mind. As lovers can see the ideal in their beloved, and yet be well aware of certain inadequacies, certain deviations from the ideal, so can you, loving yourself, realize that what you think of as imperfections are instead gropings toward more complete becoming. You cannot love yourself and hate the emotions that flow through you at the same time, because while you are not your emotions, you identify with them so often that in hating them you hate yourself. Use your conscious mind and its logic. If you discover that you feel unworthy, then do not simply try to apply a more positive belief over that one. Instead, discover the reasons for your first belief. If you have not already done so, write down your feelings about yourself. Be perfectly honest. What would you say if someone else came to you with the same reasons? Examine what you have written. Realize that a set of beliefs is involved. There is a difference between believing that you are unworthy and being unworthy in fact. Then write a list of your abilities and accomplishments. These should include such issues as getting along well with others, being attractive, being good with plants or animals, being a good carpenter or cook. Any talent or achievement should be noted as honestly as you recorded the most minute defects earlier. There is no human being alive who does not have creative abilities in his or her own way, achievements and excellent characteristics, so if you follow these instructions you will find out that you are indeed a worthy individual. When you catch yourself falling into a mood in which you feel inferior, look at your second list of abilities and accomplishments. Then use the positive suggestion in your own worth, backed up by your own personal self-examination. You may say, but I know I have great abilities that I am not using. When I compare myself to others, then I fall far short. What difference does it make if I have a few mundane achievements that are shared by many others, that are in no way unique? Surely my destiny involves more than that. I have yearnings that I cannot express. In the first place, you must understand that in your own uniqueness it is futile to compare yourself to others, for in so doing you try to emulate qualities that are theirs, and to that extent deny your own miraculous being and vision. Once you begin comparing yourself to others, there is no end to it. You will always find someone more talented than you are in some way, and so will continue to be dissatisfied. Instead, through working with your own beliefs, take it for granted that your life is important, begin with it and where you are. Do not deride yourself because you have not reached some great ideal, but start to use those talents that you have to the best of your ability, knowing that in them lies your own individual fulfillment. Any help that you give to others will come through the creative utilization of your own characteristics and no one else's. Do not get upset with yourself when you find yourself dwelling on negative issues in your life. Instead, constructively ask yourself why you are doing so. The answer will come to you. Use the knowledge as a bridge. Let whatever emotions are involved happen. If you do this honestly, feelings of self-worthlessness or despondency will go through and vanish, changing of their own accord. You may even find yourself impatient with the feelings themselves, or even bored, and hence dismiss them. Do not tell yourself automatically that they are wrong, however, and then try to apply a positive belief like a band-aid. Have a sense of humor about yourself, not a malicious one but a kindly humorous regard for yourself. High seriousness is fine when it comes naturally and is not forced, but it can become pompous if it is prolonged. If you allow yourself to be more and more aware of your own beliefs, you can work with them. It is silly to try to fight what you think of as negative beliefs or to be frightened of them. They are not mysterious. You may find that many serve good purposes at one time, and that they have simply been overemphasized. They may need to be restructured rather than denied. Some beliefs may work very positively for you for certain periods of your life. Because you have not examined them, however, you may carry them long after they have served their purpose, and now they may work against you. For example, Many of the young believe at one time or another that their parents are omnipotent, a very handy belief that gives children a sense of security. Grown into adolescent years, the same offspring are then shocked to discover their parents to be quite human and fallible, and another conviction often takes over, a belief in the inadequacy and inferiority of the older generations, and in the rigidity and callousness of those who run the world. Many embarking upon young adulthood think that the older generations have done everything wrong. However, this belief frees them from childish concepts in which older persons were always not only right but infallible, and it gives them the challenge to tackle personal and world problems. For while the new adults often feel themselves to be invincible, beyond the boundaries of creaturehood, even, this belief, again, endows them with the strength and energy they need to begin a life for themselves and to form their own mass world. Yet in material terms, they must all realize, sooner or later, not only the challenges but the other peculiar characteristics of creaturehood, in which basically no such generalized beliefs make sense. If at the age of 40 you still believe in the infallibility of your parents, then you hold that idea way beyond its advantageous date for you. Using the methods in this book, you should discover the reasons for this belief, for it will prevent you from exerting your own independence and making your own world. If you are 50 and are still convinced that the older generations are rigid, fast in the way of growing senile, mentally incompetent and physically deteriorating, then you are holding an old belief in the ineffectiveness of the older generations and setting up negative suggestions for yourself. Conversely, if you are 50 and still believe that youth is the one glorious and effective part of a lifetime, you are of course doing the same thing. A young adult gifted in a particular area may hold a belief that this ability makes him or her superior to all others. This may be quite beneficial for the person involved at a given time, to provide the needed impetus for development and the necessary independence in which the ability can grow. The same person, years older, may find that the identical belief has been held too long, so that it denies very important emotional give and take with contemporaries, or becomes restrictive in other ways. A young mother may believe that her child is even more important than her husband, and according to the circumstances, this belief may help her pay the necessary attention to the child. But if the concept is held as the child grows older, then this can also become highly restrictive. A woman's entire adult life can be structured according to such an idea if she does not learn to examine the contents of her mind. A belief that has positive results for a woman of 20 will not necessarily have the same effect for a woman of 40, who, for example, may still pay far more attention to her children than her husband. Many of your beliefs are of course cultural, but you have still accepted those that served your own purposes. As a rule, men in your society believe themselves logical while women are considered intuitive. Women, now trying to assert their rights, often fall into the same trap, but backwards, trying to deny what they think of as inferior intuitive elements for what they think of as superior logical ones. Certain beliefs then will structure your lives, often for given periods. You will grow out of many of them. When you do, the inner structuring will change, but you must not cravenly acquiesce to leftover beliefs once you recognize them. I feel inferior because my mother hated me, or, I feel unworthy because I was scrawny and small as a child. You may find as you work with your beliefs that a feeling of inferiority seems to stem from such episodes. It is up to you as an adult to get on top of your beliefs, to realize that a mother who hates her child is already in difficulties, and that such a hate says far more about the mother than it does about her offspring. It is up to you to understand that you are now a grown person, and not a child to be bullied. The point of power is in the present. That point is not in the past unless you abjectly decide to acquiesce to worn-out beliefs that no longer serve you. If you believed you were unworthy because you were scrawny and bullied, then in some way you undoubtedly used that belief for your own purposes. Admit it. Discover what the purposes were. Perhaps you compensated, became athletic later, or used the impetus to go ahead in your own way. If your mother hated you, you may have used that to assert independence, to give you an excuse or a pathway, but in all cases you form your own reality, and so you agree to it. Many people who write to me feel that they have unusual psychic or writing abilities, or sense an outstanding need to help others. They constantly compare what they do with what they think they are capable of, but often without making a start toward the development of their own abilities. They want to write great philosophical theories, for example, perhaps never putting the pen to the paper, or trusting themselves enough to begin. Some want to help the world at large, in capital letters, but all they do is think about this desire without trying to implement it at all in practical terms. The ideal in their minds becomes so great that they are always dissatisfied with their own performance, yet they are afraid to make a start. The loving acknowledgement of their own uniqueness would in itself show them how to begin to use their own abilities in their own way, and to trust their present situation. The ideal is not yet materialized. It is just the essence of a direction. But that direction can only be found by using what you have in the now that you know, and by acquiescing to your own opportunities and abilities, and using those through the power of the present. There is certainly nothing wrong in asking for help from others when you think that you need it, and sometimes much to be gained. There are those who make a practice of seeking aid from others, however, using this as a means of avoiding responsibility. In specific physical problems, help should be sought in areas in which you have little knowledge. But many people look to those outside themselves, psychics, doctors, psychiatrists, priests, ministers, friends, for the answers to overall life situations, and in so doing they deny their own abilities of self-understanding and growth. Because of your educational framework, the individual is taught to be wary of the inner self, as mentioned earlier in the 614th session in Chapter 2, for instance. So unfortunately the ordinary man or woman looks for the solutions of personal problems outside of the self, where they can least be found. If you use the methods given in this book, you should know yourself far more intimately than you did before, and be better equipped to handle your personal reality. Simply knowing that you form your reality can free you from some limiting concepts that have held you back in the past. You can then examine your beliefs creatively, finding the correlations between them and your experience. The conscious knowledge alone will trigger intuitional responses within the inner self so that you will receive helpful information through dreams, impulses, and ordinary thought patterns. If you affirm the basic grace of your being, then this will automatically weaken the beliefs you have that are contrary to that principle. You will be able to hold equally within your experience the vision of an ideal self and all those natural deviations from it. You will begin with where you are and joyfully start to expand those attributes that you have now, without expecting them to appear full-blown. You will love yourself and have no difficulty in loving your neighbor. That does not mean that you must be unaware of divergences from your ideal concept of the beloved. And again, it does not mean that you must smile constantly, but that you affirm your validity and grace within the dimensions of your creaturehood. As soon as you begin to compare what you are with some idealized concept of yourself, you automatically feel guilty. Until you work with your beliefs, this guilt can be initiated by the most harmless episodes and characteristics. It is a good idea to write down a list of specific acts or incidents that fill you with a sense of guilt. Often you will be able to trace them to early childhood beliefs quite easily, some instilled by a well-meaning parent to protect you, or out of an adult's ignorance. Brought into the open, however, many of these will dissolve before your comprehension. When you affirm your own lightness in the universe, then you cooperate with others easily and automatically as a part of your own nature. You, being yourself, help others be themselves. You are not jealous of talents you do not possess, and so you can open-heartedly encourage them in others. Because you recognize your own uniqueness, you will not need to dominate others, nor cringe before them. You must begin to trust yourself sometime. I suggest you do it now. If you do not, then you will forever be looking to others to prove your own merit to you, and you will never be satisfied. You will always be asking others what to do, and at the same time resenting those from whom you seek such aid. It will seem to you that their experience is legitimate and yours counterfeit. You will feel shortchanged. You will find yourself exaggerating the negative aspects of your life, and the positive sides of other people's experiences. You are a multidimensional personality. Trust the miracle of your own being. Make no divisions between the physical and the spiritual in your lifetimes, for the spiritual speaks with the physical voice and the corporeal body is the creation of the spirit. Do not place the words of gurus, ministers, priests, scientists, psychologists, friends, or my words, higher than the feelings of your own being. You can learn much from others, but the deepest knowledge must come from within yourself. Your own consciousness is embarked upon a reality that basically can be experienced by no other, that is unique and untranslatable, with its own meaning, following its own paths of becoming. You share an existence with others who are experiencing their own journeys in their own ways, and you have journeying in common, then. Be kind to yourself and to your companions. I am also journeying. What information and knowledge I have I try to give to you through Rupert and Joseph Paws, who are parts of me in your space and time. But they are themselves as I am myself. Rupert's own beliefs in the nature of his consciousness helped bring about these sessions. Rupert and Joseph have both worked with the nature of creativity, and from an early age each of them sought for answers, but most of all they trusted the destiny and grace of their beings. They might have felt that they had lost direction at times. For certain periods they might have had problems in which they forgot their aims momentarily, and yet their beliefs in themselves individually and together were strong enough to give them their present reality. Many who write want to develop and use the same abilities, yet it is obvious from their letters that their beliefs prevent them from trusting the inner self enough. You cannot fear your own being and expect to travel through it, to explore its dimensions. First you must take the simple step of affirming your identity. That affirmation will release those attributes that you have and open up new avenues of experience. They will and must be your own. When you ask others to interpret your dreams, for example, you are automatically putting the fulfillment of your own potentials a step away. When you ask another to tell you the direction of your life, then to some extent you keep from yourself the realization that you yourself possess it. Without that awareness, no methods will help you. In ordinary terms, this book has included no esoteric instructions to help you achieve what you may think of as spiritual development or psychic expertise. Yet it is a preliminary for all of those who want to use creaturehood as a framework through which to perceive and experience other realities. As I mentioned earlier, you will not become more spiritual by denying your flesh. See Chapter 7. This is the life you are living. Trust the living that flows through you. By doing so, other realities will make themselves known. They will add dimension and depth to your present reality. You make your own reality, wherever you travel, and in whichever dimension you find yourself. Before you embark upon other journeys of consciousness, understand that your beliefs will follow you and form your experience there as they do here. If you believe in demons, you will meet them, in this life as enemies, and in other realms of consciousness as devils or evil spirits. If you are frightened of your emotions and believe them wrong, then when you try psychic experiments you may believe that you are possessed. Your feelings, the repressed ones, will seem demonic. You will be afraid to assign them to yourself, and so will think that they belong to a disembodied spirit. It is very important then that you understand the true innocence of all feelings, for each of them, if left alone and followed, will lead you back to the reality of love. Trust no person who tells you that you are evil or guilty by reason of your nature or your physical existence, or any such dogma. Trust no one who leads you away from the reality of yourself. Long pause, eyes closed. Do not follow those who tell you that you must do penance, in whatever form. Trust instead the spontaneity of your own being and the life that is your own. If you do not like where you are, then examine those beliefs that you have. Bring them out into the open. There is nothing within yourself to fear. My life is mine, and I form it. Tell yourself this often. Create your own life now, using your beliefs as an artist uses color. There is no condition that you cannot change, except one indisputably physically accepted at birth within the realms of creaturehood, such as a liability in terms of a missing organ, or a functional lack. If you have been filled with self-pity because of a disease or a life situation, then seize the initiative. Face your beliefs honestly and find out the reason for the difficulty. I speak with the inner vitality that is inherent within each of my readers, with the inner knowledge that also belongs to them. I close by saying, as I have said before, you are given the gift of the gods. You create your reality according to your beliefs. Yours is the creative energy that makes your world. There are no limitations to the self except those you believe in. I am Seth. I speak my name joyfully, though names are not important. Then each of you speak your names with affirmation every morning. You create your life through the inner power of your being, pause, whose source is within you and yet beyond the selves that you know. Use those creative abilities with understanding abandon. Honor yourselves and move through the godliness of your being.